بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. My respected brothers in Islam, our local Amir Sahib gave me the hukam to give the talk while the brothers are out in Gasht. Basically, I am not fit for this task. There are many ulama in i'tikaf during these 10 days. We have given a full year in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they regularly engage in the effort of da'wat and tabligh. They were more deserving and more fit to give this talk. I do not even reach the dust of their shoes. But in spite of that, Amir Sahib insisted that I give the talk. I put forward these various other proposals that tell so and so rather to give the talk. But Amir Sahib did not listen. In fact, with regard to our Amir Sahib, we ought to say he did not want to listen. Because we know Amir Sahib is a bit hard of hearing, he uses a hearing aid. If he doesn't want to listen, he merely switches it off or he puts the volume low. So then he doesn't want to listen to all the arguments and insisted that I give the talk. So nevertheless, although there are much more deserving people, there is a saying in Arabic, Al-Amru Fawq Al-Adab, that although respect demanded that someone else be given this opportunity to give the talk, but because it is a hukam, the command of our Amir Sahib, the Quran also says, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Obey Allah, obey His Rasul, and those who have authority amongst you. So our Amir Sahib, his hukam, I had to carry out. Allah Ta'ala grant our Amir Sahib long life and relieve him of this ailment of the hearing problem. Allah Ta'ala inshallah give him full shifa from that. Allah Ta'ala give him long life, health, and all the other brothers in this town that are involved in the work of da'wah and tabligh. They are doing a sterling job. Allah Ta'ala accept their efforts, give them barakat in their life, in the world, in the akhirat, in the rozi, and barakat in their families as well. Allah Ta'ala make Amir Sahib and us too among those people who fit the description mentioned by Allah Ta'ala, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. That those who attentively listen to talks of deen and they follow that which is most favorable, Allah Ta'ala inshallah give barakat in their lives. So nevertheless, Amir Sahib would not listen, as I mentioned. Just by the way, on a light note, they say people who are hard of hearing, when a joke is made in a gathering, they laugh twice at the joke. When the joke is made, first they see everyone else teeth showing, they know they are laughing, so they also join the laughter. But they do not know what the joke was. Then they will ask the person next to them, what was the joke? When everyone is silent, they will laugh again. So they laugh twice at the joke. Hazrat Tanvir Rahmatullahi has mentioned an incident of a person who was hard of hearing. He went to visit a person who was very, very ill. Hazrat Tanvir has written this incident. So from a distance, when this ill person saw him coming, he was seriously ill, maybe about to leave the world. In that condition, a man doesn't want to speak to a person who is hard of hearing. He has to scream at the top of his voice in order to make that person understand. So maybe when he saw the person coming from the distance, he may have said to himself, here come the top of ear, om the copter yet. He's coming again to chow brains. So when he came close, the first question he posed to this ill person, they tell me, how are you feeling? So the sick person replied that I am dying, man, I am dying. So that person, because he was hard of hearing, how people of this nature tend to lip read also. So he said, I am dying. See, he understood that he is saying, I am recovering. So in reply he said, that let it be sooner than later. He's saying, I'm dying. He said, let it be sooner than later. The sooner the better. Then he asked another question, what medication are you taking? So he said, talking about medication, I am taking poison, not medicine. So he thought that he took the name of some very expensive medication. So the hard of hearing person says to him, that may that medication course through and travel through every vein and blood vessel of your body. Then the third question he asked him, he said, who is treating you nowadays? Which doctor is treating you? So he said, Malakul Maut is treating me, the angel of death. So this person replies, he thought he took the name of a very expert doctor. So he said, that is a very good doctor. Let's hope he does a thorough job of it. So nevertheless, Allah Ta'ala bless our Amir Sahab. Allah Ta'ala grant him long life, inshallah, and take a lot of work from him. There is a hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which in effect is a hadith of Qudsi, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relays the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhum Ar-Rahman, irhamu man fil ard, yarhamukum man fil sama. Ar-Rahimun yarhamukum Ar-Rahman, tabaraka wa ta'ala, irhamu man fil ard, yarhamukum man fil sama, aw kama qal. Allah ta'ala says, those who show mercy and compassion to one another, Allah Ta'ala in turn shows compassion, mercy to them. Then Allah Ta'ala commands that show mercy and compassion upon the people on the face of the earth. Show mercy to the creation of Allah. Then the being that is dominant over the heavens, that controls the heavens, will show mercy unto you. In others, show mercy to the creation, and the Creator will show mercy to you. This is a hadith which is also known as Musalsal bil Awwaliyat. Students that study hadith, when they, for the first time, open a book of hadith, the teacher normally, ustaz of hadith, normally mentions this hadith, because there is a special characteristic of this hadith, that in this hadith there is a long chain of narrators. Each student heard this hadith when he started studying a hadith. This was the first hadith that he heard from his ustaz. And that ustaz in turn heard it for the first time from his ustaz above him, and so forth and so on towards the top. So in this way, this is the first hadith that most students of hadith hear from the ustaz, a very pertinent, very important hadith. So the hadith encourages us to show mercy on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Showing mercy can be in two different ways, in the physical sense and in the spiritual sense. In the physical sense, we mean that, for instance, a man is hungry, he is destitute, he is thirsty. To provide food for that person, to fulfill his need, that is showing physical mercy towards the person who is in need. Or perhaps a person needs assistance to carry some heavy load, you assist the person, this is showing mercy in a physical sense. Or you are driving towards a masjid or wherever, and you see a person who is finding difficulty to walk. He has no transport. You stop your vehicle, let him sit, do that favor to him, take him to his destination. That is showing mercy in the physical sense. But there is a better form of showing mercy, and that is showing mercy in a spiritual sense. In other words, to have that fikr, to have that worry, that how can every human being be saved in the akhirat from the fire of Jahannam? That is showing mercy and compassion in the spiritual sense. To make an effort on ourselves, to make an effort on other people, so that we ourselves and the people too can be saved from the fire of Jahannam. This is showing mercy and compassion in the spiritual sense. That qu anfusakum wa ahlikum. That save yourselves and your families from the fire of Jahannam. To try and save the entire mankind from the fire of Jahannam. This is showing mercy and compassion in the spiritual sense. Or a person has already recited the kalima. He is a Muslim. He is a mu'min. But he is not punctual with his salah. He does not know what the masjid is. He does not come into the masjid. Then spiritually showing mercy is to encourage him, to make an effort on him, to make an effort on all the people of the community that do not come to the masjid, that how can they be successful? Bring them into the masjid. Bring them into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they can come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attain the success of this world and of the akhirat. And this was after all the effort of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the effort of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he went out onto the streets, went out into the bazaars, went out knocking at doors, encouraging them and imploring them that قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُ. Recite the kalima la ilaha illallah. Come onto tawheed. Come onto the true deen and you will be successful. So by encouraging people to come onto the true deen, in the spiritual sense, we are showing mercy and compassion for them. That if they come onto the true deen, they become practicing Muslims, then we have paved the way for our and for their success as well. Success in this world, success in the Qadr, success in the Akhirat. So in this way we make an effort on ourselves and on humanity at large, so that every single human being can come close to his Creator, can be saved from the fire of Jahannam. And that's what the effort of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the beginning when he made the effort, a handful of people recited the kalima and came into the fold of Islam. And this handful of people went through endless persecution. The mother of Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala, no other crime, they considered this to be a crime, to forsake the deen of their forefathers and to come onto the deen of Tawheed, to come into Islam. And she was martyred by this brutal mushrikeen of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Her body was decapitated. In that way she was martyred. People like Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala used to be tortured, dragged through the hot desert sands and forced to relinquish this deen, forsake this new deen. But at all times the lips were moving, words were emanating from his lips, Ahad, 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 that Allah is one, I can never forsake this deen, wherein lies my success in this world, in the Qabr and in the Akhirah. And these people remain resilient, they remain steadfast on the beautiful deen that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam invited them towards. And slowly but surely, more and more people enter the deen of Islam. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was blessed with the mantle of prophethood, he climbed the Mount Safa and he called out to his clan, to his tribe, the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah. He was commanded by Allah Ta'ala, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, that warn your close family members of the impending doom of the Akhirat. Warn your tribe and then warn others as well. So he called out, they gathered at the foot of the Mount of Safa and he said to them, if I tell you there is an enemy army waiting behind the mountain, about to attack you, what will you say? So they said, مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْكَ كَذِبًا, we have never known you to speak a single lie. You are totally truthful. They even said to this extent, that if we were to go behind the mountain, and we see no army waiting there, then too, we will say that our eyes are deceiving us. You are speaking the truth. Our eyes are lying. That is how much they considered Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be truthful, honest, trustworthy. But yet when he put the da'wat before them, when he said, I have been blessed with the mantle of prophethood, I have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to warn you about the impending punishment of the Akhirat if you remain on this idolatry, if you remain on shirk, if you do not leave the idolatry, do not come onto the true deen, then you will not see success in this world and in the Akhirat. To attain that success, you have to accept my message. And this was the message put before them. But yet, most of them refused to accept the message of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he continued to make his effort. Later he was expelled from Makkah al-Mukarramah, migrated to Medina. And he prepared a handful of Sahaba, numbering 313, that participated in the first major battle, the Battle of Badr. And the army was totally ill-equipped. But Allah Ta'ala does not look at material resources. Allah Ta'ala's nusrat, His help, is with those people who turn to Allah Ta'ala for help, who please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And this handful of 313 were pleasing Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They were on the true deen. But in order to give them further confidence, even though they were ill-equipped, they had a mere 5 or 6 horses with them. They had no outward weapons with them. And the army of Kufar that was approaching, numbering 1,000, armed to the teeth. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned to Allah Ta'ala for nusrat, for help. And he asked Allah Ta'ala for assistance. And he made dua to Allah Ta'ala. And he made a statement, Allahumma in shi'ta lam tu'bad. In shi'ta la tu'bad. That, oh Allah, if this is your wish, if you are going to destroy this handful of your believers in this battlefield, then who will remain to worship you? When Abu Bakr Siddiq saw the earnestness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this dua, he caught hold of the hand of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, أَخَذَ بِيَدِهِ فَقَالَ حَسْبُكَ, And he said, that is enough, O Rasul of Allah. Your dua will be answered. Your dua has been accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala showed the Muslims victory on the battlefield of Badr. Allah Ta'ala aided them. Allah Ta'ala assisted them. Because Allah Ta'ala's assistance is at all times with those people who do the effort of deen, who are interested and who are always concerned with reforming themselves, making themselves better people, making themselves closer to Allah. And at the same time, these people are not selfish. They also want to become the means for other people's affirmation, for other people's guidance, that we become the means to guide other people, because they have in front of them the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la yahdi Allahu bika rajulan wahidan khayrun laka min humurin naam. Nabi Sallallahu said to Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that even if one person is guided by your means, that is better for you than red camels. Red camels were considered the most precious commodity among the Arab nation. In other words, that is better for you than the world and whatever the world contains. So these people spread out throughout the world when the farewell pilgrimage took place. And Nabi Sallallahu on the field, on the plains of Arafat, in a nutshell, in a synopsis, Nabi Sallam presented the entire deen to the people gathered there. By the time the farewell pulgrimage took place, when the Hajjatul Wada took place, these handful of Sahaba had swelled in number. They were now numbering 124,000. Nabi Sallam addressed them and put the entire deen before them in a nutshell, and encourage them to do the effort of deen throughout the four corners of the world, wherever they may be. Nabi Sallam said to them, "Hal ballaghtu? Have I conveyed the message of deen?" And they all answered in unison, "Qad ballaghta al-risala wa addayta al-amana wa nasahta al-umma wa kashafta al-ghumma." That, O Rasul of Allah, you have truly conveyed the message. You have advised your ummah in the correct way. You have removed the concerns and the grief of the ummah by guiding them through to the true deen. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned towards Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad. O Allah, you bear witness that they are testifying that I have completed my mission upon earth. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged them, ballighu anni. The message I have given you, convey to other people. Historians have written that out of these thousands of Sahaba gathered on the plains of Arafat, after the Hajj was completed, many of them did not even return home. From there, from Arafat, from Mina, after completion of Hajj, they went out to the different corners of the world in order to propagate the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why if you go today and study, find out statistics, how many Sahaba are buried in Jannatul Baqi? Out of 124,000, very few are buried in Jannatul Baqi. Where are the rest of the Sahaba? They spread throughout the four corners of the world to do the fikr of deen, to spread the message of Allah, and they are buried in various parts of the entire world. Why was this? Because they had the concern for deen. How we can save ourselves and save the entire humanity from the fire of Jahannam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to dispatch these jamaats in the path of Allah, and readily they would go out and do the fikr of deen. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just to illustrate how the nusrat and the help of Allah Ta'ala arrives, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a group of 10 sahaba out in the path of Allah. The Amir was Asim bin Thabit Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. Their job was merely to go and observe, look and study the strength and the weaknesses of the enemy. The object on this occasion was not to go engage them in battle. A mere group of 10 Sahaba, they went out to the enemy territory to study their strengths and their weaknesses. When they came in that area, they had some khajurs, some dates from Madinah Munawwara, which they ate, and the pits fell on the road that they walked upon. Spies from the enemy happened to notice these date pits, and they were so expert in recognizing the dates of the Arabian territory that they immediately made out that these are pits from the khajur of Madinah Munawwara. So obviously, definitely, there are some enemy forces in our territory. Let us follow them, trace their footsteps. And they were followed to a small hill, a little mountain, on which this group of 10 Sahaba had climbed. They were then surrounded by a huge group of this enemy, of the kuffar. They were told to come down from the mountain. They refused to come down. The Amir Asim bin Thabit radhiyallahu anhu said, "We will not surrender to the enemy." So these people had weapons at their disposal. They began to shower arrows at them. Eventually they martyred 7 of this group of 10 Sahaba. They sipped from the glass of martyrdom. They were ready to meet the great creator. They knew the value of martyrdom. It comes in a hadith that when people are going to Jannat, no one will have the desire to return to the world except a martyr. One that was murdered on the battlefield, killing cold blood, or murdered unjustly. They will desire to return to the world. Why? So that they can once again experience the ecstasy of that event of martyrdom. So once again they can experience it. It comes in the hadith that when a person is martyred, killed unjustly on the battlefield, wherever, no matter what a grave wound is inflicted on his body, that wound feels to him like a little ant had bitten him, or like someone pinched him. He does not even feel that pain. So this is the benefit of martyrdom. 7 Sahaba tasted martyrdom here. The remaining 3 were then begged by the kuffar that, "Come down, we will not help you." So they came down from that hill. One of them, Abdullah bin Tariq radiallahu ta'ala, saw that these people were loosening the gut, the string of their bows, and were preparing to tie them up. So he refused to go along with them. They dragged him, he refused to go. Eventually they martyred him. 2 were left. Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Zayd bin Dathina radiallahu ta'ala, they were taken into captivity. Hazrat Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala was sold to the sons of Amir bin Harith. The reason, in the first battle, the Battle of Badr, this Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala had killed Amir bin Harith, a kafir. So in return for that, the sons of Amir bin Harith, they purchased Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala so that they can execute him in the retaliation for what he did to their father on the Battle of Badr. They tied him in chains, waiting for the day to execute him. While he was tied in chains, one of the women folk of this kafir household, she had to make a remark that, "I never saw a more disciplined and more well-behaved prisoner than this prisoner." On one day, on one occasion, she noticed a beautiful bunch of grapes in his hand. He was tied up and busy eating grapes. Yet she says, in those days, it was not the fruit season in Makkah al-Mukarramah. It was not the season of fruit. No one could buy fruit from the marketplace. No one could buy grapes. Yet there was a bunch of grapes in his hand. This was obviously nusrat, help from Allah Ta'ala, fruit from Jannat. When the day came to execute him, and they were about to behead him, they put a question to him, "Have you got a final request?" He says, "Yes, I have a final request. I merely wish that before you kill me, before you execute me, give me the opportunity to perform 2 rakat salah." So they gave him the opportunity. He performed 2 rakat salah, and thereafter he said to them, "I found such comfort in the salah. I would have liked to request you to allow me to perform more salah. But maybe you will accuse me of dilly-dallying, of postponing my execution. So now I'm ready. You can execute me." So then I executed him. Before he died, he read a few couplets, a little poetry. And he said, that, "Lastu ubali hina uqtalu muslima ala ayyi مصرفٍ على أي مصرفٍ كان لله مصرعي على أي جنبٍ كان لله مصرعي وذلك في ذات الإله وإن يشاء يبارك على أوصال شلو ممزعي." He said, "I do not care, I do not have a worry in the world as long as I am dying in the state of Iman. That is the ultimate success. I do not worry in which direction my body will fall when I am executed, as long as I am laying my life down for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said that Allah ta'ala, if he wishes, if this enemy after executing me, if they decapitate my body, tear my body limb from limb, then also Allah ta'ala has the power to give barakat to every limb of my body. He was then executed. Then the mashura was made among the kuffar. They take his body, string it up under the hot desert sun, let the vultures come and devour his body. And there the few kuffar to guard over his body. Historians have written that for 40 days they waited for the vultures to come. Not a single vulture came to devour the flesh of his body. In fact, under that hot desert sun, after 40 days, his body was totally intact and fresh, as if he had just died a few minutes ago. When Nabi Salsam saw the danger, that eventually they will begin to cut his body limb from limb, he sent two sahaba to recover the body so that it can be buried respectfully. Two sahaba were dispatched, Hazrat Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu ta'ala. When they got there, they found the guards snoozing, so they caught hold of the opportunity. They cut off the ropes with which the body of Khubayb bin Adi was hanging, and Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala took the corpse onto his horse and they made a dash for it. When the enemies realized that the body has been taken away, the corpse has been taken, they gave chase. Zubair bin Awam realized that because of the extra weight on my horse, these people in pursuit of us will catch up with us. So slowly, he released the body of Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala. As he released the body from the horse, the earth opened up and swallowed his body. That became his grave. So they could not get hold of the body of Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala to desecrate it, to decapitate it. In this way Allah ta'ala saved his body from desecration. When Nabi Sallam got news of this through Wahi, he gave him the title Bali'ul Ard, the one who was swallowed out by the earth. In this way Allah ta'ala kept his body intact. Later the kuffar sent some people to recover the body of the Amir of this Jamaat, Asim bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala. When they got to his body where he was martyred on that hilltop, on that mountain, they came close to the body to take the body. Allah ta'ala sent a huge swarm of wasps. These people could not go close to the body. They knew they would be stung, they would be bitten. So they thought, let us wait for nightfall to take the body. When the sun had set, Allah ta'ala sent a huge torrent of rain. There was a flood in that area that washed his body away towards a certain direction. And in that direction also, the ground opened up and swallowed his body. In this way, Allah ta'ala nusrat and help was with his sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala majmain. In later times also, we saw this type of nusrat of Allah ta'ala. There was an ustaz of Mazahir Ulum Saharanpur, by the name of Maulana Mazhar Sahib Nanutvi Rahmatullahi. He used to teach hadith. The student noticed that daily when he teaches hadith, he takes out his tongue and he licks his lips as if he's savoring some sweet syrup on his lips. None of the students had the guts to ask him the reason for this. One day someone mustered up the courage to ask him, Hazrat, why do you lick your lips very often in this manner? So he said, till today I have not divulged the secret. Today I will divulge it. He explained that during the British reign over India, during the oppressive British regime, he says we fought the British on the battlefields. One famous battle took place, the Battle of Shamli. In that battle, in the Muslim army, were great, great ulama of the Deoband fraternity, people like Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi, Hafiz Zamin Sahib Rahmatullahi, Maulana Muhammad Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi, and this Maulana Mazhar Sahib Nanotvi Rahmatullahi, on the battlefield of Shamli. He says, on that battle many of our brothers were martyred. Many of us sustained wounds. He says, I also sustained some wounds. And as I was lying semi-conscious on the battlefield, he says, I noticed damsels, hurs from Jannah descending. And those that were leaving the world, were breathing the last, they brought some goblets with a drink from Jannat, and they were putting it at the lips for them to drink. He says, one such lady came to me, and she put the glass on my lips to drink. But another one pulled her away, and they said, he is not from amongst those who is to leave the world at this time. He will not be martyred. So he says, I did not drink that syrup, that beautiful drink from Jannat. It was merely put on my lips. But he says, the taste of that, I have savored it till today. It is everlasting. And that is why I lick my lips over and over again, to savor the taste of the drink from Jannat. This is what the Quran says. Ukuduha da'im. That the food and drink of Jannat will be everlasting. It will last forever and ever. We all want Jannat, don't we? If we want the bounties of Jannat, we have to make an effort for deen. In Jannat it is said that if Jannat will be granted powers of mental telepathy, he will be sitting in front of his palace, looking at the sweet waters flowing by, the sweet streams of Jannat. It will be at a little distance away from him. Suddenly he will get the urge to drink some water. He will not have to stretch out. Mere mental waves will command the stream of water. It will turn in his direction. And very easily he will be able to scoop up the water and drink the water. When he has the urge to eat of the fruit of Jannat, a tree will appear in front of him. Let us say he wants to eat a pomegranate. The tree will appear and the branches will swing in his direction. He will take the pomegranate and eat, savor the taste of the pomegranate. As soon as he plucks the pomegranate, another one miraculously will appear in his place. And what is the fruit of Jannat? When he eats the fruit of Jannat, with each bite that he takes, each bite will be more delicious than the previous bite. Whereas in this world, when we eat fruit, the fruit is eaten and forgotten, it is digested, it is consigned to the toilet. But the fruit of Jannat, he will enjoy the taste of the fruit of Jannat with every tissue, every fiber of his body. In Jannat, the person will not have to attend to the call of nature. Whatever he consumes, whatever he eats, will be digested and given off in the form of perspiration, and not stinking perspiration. The perspiration will smell like the fragrance of musk. In Jannat, a person will be given hurs, the ladies of Jannat. We cannot even imagine the beauty of these ladies in this world. We cannot even begin to imagine. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described the beauty of these women in some hadith, that the radiance, the nur of their bodies is such that even if 70 cloths were placed over their bodies, then too their radiance will shine through that cloth. Their radiance is such that if they were to put one finger into this world, even the shine or the radiance of the sun would become dull in front of the radiance of their bodies. Their bodies will be transparent. You will be able to see the bone and marrow of their bodies. But it will not be unsightly. It will be covered in silver. It will be beautiful. It will be something that a person will be inclined to. When the house palace will be allocated for him in Jannat, announcement will be made, Ki Amir Sahib Yusuf Bhai from Azad will have appeared, and that damsel in that home palace will be waiting for Amir Sahib. And he will recognize her, she will recognize him. She will welcome him with open arms. For the first time he's seeing that palace, but he will know the ins and outs of that palace more than he knows his own home. Where does Amir Sahib say on Kasuda? He will know it better than his own home. That is how he will recognize that palace. And the men of Jannat will be given a strength equivalent to 40 men of this world. When you're going to get so many hurs, you'll need that energy there also, obviously. So nevertheless, these are the bounties of Jannat. There will be a marketplace of beauty. The Jannati will go into the marketplace. He will see moles of beautiful faces. Whichever face he desires, his face will transform into that beautiful manner. He will return to that hur and wife in his palace. And she will say, you have returned in a much more handsome manner, in a more beautiful manner. She will say, your beauty also has been enhanced. These are the bounties of Jannat. When you will enter the door of Jannah, the Jannati, on the door of Jannah will be inscribed, Salamun Qawlam Min Rabbir Rahim, the ayat of Surah Yasin. It is said our Quran is the heart of all divine heavenly books. And Surah Yasin is the heart of the Quran. And this ayat is the heart of Surah Yasin. So you'll be greeted with salam, with greetings. Enter to a most merciful Lord with peace. Greetings to you. The farishta that will be guarding that door will be so beautiful, beyond description. You will feel like bowing in front of that farishta. But the farishta will say, no, I am merely a servant of Allah. Enter through this door, enjoy the bounties of Jannat. So these are the bounties of Jannat. Maybe I can make tashkil that who doesn't want the bounties of Jannat, put your hands up. No one, alhamdulillah. I can ask who doesn't want to go in the path of Allah. Let's see. No one. Everyone wants to go in the path of Allah. Everyone wants the bounties of Jannah. That is why no one puts a hand up. So all are ready, inshallah, to go in the path of Allah. And with the fadl and the grace of Allah, inshallah, there you will taste of the fruits of our labor. We have to work in this world. This is Darul Imtihan, Darul Amal. You will reap the rewards, inshallah, in the akhirah. With the fadl of Allah. We have to make an effort for this. And to make an effort of this, Miyadi Mehrab Sahib Rahmatullahi of Nizamuddin used to say that the mahal, the environment in the outside world, is like the climate. When the weather is very, very cold, everyone is affected with the cold weather. Young and old, male and female. Everyone is affected, Muslim and kafir. But only those people who protect themselves from the cold weather who have jackets on their bodies. So similarly used to say, the evil environment out there, everyone is affected, young and old, male and female. Only those will be protected from this evil environment that put on the cloth of deen, of iman and yaqeen. Those who protect themselves with jerseys and jackets, they are safe from the cold weather. Similarly, those who protect and cover themselves with the clothing of iman and yaqeen, they will be safe from the evil environment outside. So this is the effort of deen, of iman and yaqeen, to protect ourselves from the batil forces outside. And we are protected from that, then we come close to Allah, and inshallah with the grace of Allah, with the fadl of Allah, will enter Jannat, Allah willing, without reckoning, with the intercession of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and reap the benefits there. So inshallah, Masood Sahib will make tashkil also. Who is ready? Who wants the bounties of Jannat? Or should I say, maybe you shy to put up your hands. Who doesn't want the bounties of Jannat? No one putting their hands up. Who doesn't want to go in the path of Allah for 4 months? No one putting their hands up. We've got a big book to write our names, inshallah. Write everyone's names down, inshallah. Chalo bhai, stand up, inshallah. Put your hands up.